Okay, good morning. Make your way in, find a seat. Welcome to chapel. Sorry, let me step around all of our chapel speaker stuff today. So we're in for a fun time today. And I will save that introduction for just a moment. Dr. Woodell is going to come up in just a moment and introduce our chapel speaker today. But I have three announcements for you that I hope you'll find interesting. The first one is we're having a coffee house on Thursday, March 7th. This is going to be in the courtyard. It's going to be at 6:30 p.m. There'll be live music. There'll be coffee. There'll be snacks. I don't think you have to sign up for this event. You just show up. And so that's weather permitting out in the courtyard. If the weather's not permitting, I'm sure they'll give instruction and move the event. But coffee house Thursday, March 7th. Second is tutoring. So want to keep that in front of you. We still have tutoring available. If you're far enough in the semester, you think you need some help in certain subjects, go and get tutoring. See Josiah Presley, our new student success manager, and he'll get you hooked up with a tutor so you get the help that you need. And also, I always like to emphasize this, tutoring makes good students great students. So teach you new strategies, things that will help you as you study. And this one we don't have a slide for, but it's important. So by show of hands, do any of you have class on either Monday, Tuesday, or Thursday at 4:15 or later? Any of you? Oh, cool. Good. A good amount of you. All right. So good. Next week on Monday, Tuesday, and Thursday for our 4:15 and later students, there's going to be food for you in the student services office, okay? So where we are right now, and this is subject to change, but where we are right now, Monday there's going to be pizza. Tuesday there's going to be tacos y mas, and that was Josiah that said that, not me. And then Thursday they're bringing in canes, okay? So chicken fingers and so good stuff. And so when you go on break, like at your 4:15 or your 7 o'clock class, hello? I lost you. Lost you at Cane's. Oh, man, their chicken's so good. It may even be better than Chick-fil-A. What do you think? Whoa. All right. So on that day, on those days, at your break for either your 4:15 or your 7 o'clock class, come down student services office and grab some food. So the reason they're doing that is they want you to know, for you guys that are up here late in the evening, putting in that hard work, that's a tough time to be in class, and they want you to know that they appreciate you and love you, and so they just wanted to do that as something special for you. So make sure you come and participate. Now, without further ado, let's welcome Dr. Woodell to introduce our chapel speaker.
Thank you, sir. And I'm going to take a bit of executive privilege here and have one more announcement. March 12th is a Tuesday during spring break. When is spring break, y'all? Okay. Tuesday during spring break is senior day. Are there any seniors in the house? Don't raise your hand. But you can come as an 18-year-old. It doesn't matter. You don't have to be a senior to come to senior day. Jeff Allen, Christian comedian, was going to be there. Brother Jimmy Draper will be bringing the message. Chris and Diane Machen are providing the music. It's fun. It's a lot of fun. You ought to come to senior day. There it is. Steve Hunter, Dr. Steve Hunter, two-time doctor. Steve Hunter, doctor. He holds a terminal degree in pastoral ministries and also one in counseling and psychology. One from Mid-America Baptist Theological Seminary and one from Texas A&M University Commerce. He holds two master's degrees, Master of Science and a Master of Divinity. The MS is in Counseling and Psychology, the MDiv, Theology, and then a BS, a Bachelor of Science in Psychology, with a minor in Business Administration. Do you get the sense that Dr. Hunter knows a little bit? He's a smart guy. He has been here at the college since, I want to say, 2003 or so. 2003 is when I came part-time, and I remember going on a faculty retreat. I may have shared this story before, but he gave the devotional at the faculty retreat that summer, and that's where I met Dr. Hunter. And then I came the next year in 2004, and I've known him ever since. And he's served in a variety of capacities, and I just want to read some of these to you, because it's just so much good stuff. He is the Hope for the Heart Chair of Biblical Counseling and Professor of Psychology and Counseling and the Interim Program Director of the Counseling and Psychology Programs. here at the college. And he has been the executive director of counseling at Hope for the Heart. He's been the dean of students at Criswell College. He is a licensed professional counselor, supervisor. He has been a Southern Baptist missionary in Eastern Europe. He's been a pastor, a youth pastor. I'm turning my paper over. He's published scholarly journals, peer-reviewed scholarly journals. He's presented at Christian counseling conferences and at non-Christian, sort of secular-type counseling conferences and psychology conferences. He does it on his own. He partners with people to do these presentations. He's licensed and ordained to the gospel ministry. He has been a member of all kinds of different organizations. Dr. Hunter works hard. He works smart. He teaches. He mentors. His door is open to us as faculty and staff and to you as students. It's part of what he's here for. And I've sat in there on his couch and poured out my heart to him, and he's given me some really good feedback and counseling for me and for things that I just have to ask him about. And he's done that for a lot of us. He's just a really gifted counselor, teacher, and a great friend. He's married to Karen. They have 7 children. I don't know all their names, but he's got 7 children. So keep him in your prayers. And I'm going to pray for our time together. Let's pray together. God, thank you for Dr. Hunter. Pray that you would give him peace and joy as he shares your word today. God, bless him and bless us through him by your Spirit's power. In Jesus' name, amen.
Well, there's no greater Valentine message than that. As you can tell, we're going to focus on love today. And the title of the sermon is How to Be a Great Lover. And today is the day that Americans will spend $20 billion on love. So I have a chart there for you. For the significant men in their lives, Americans on average will spend $100. For the significant women in their lives, Americans will spend on average $60. Can't figure out why. I mean, it's not that way in my house, right? And Americans will spend on average $25 on their pets on Valentine's Day. And so I've been thinking a lot about love, and on the way to the college, thinking about love, driving to the college, 7 kids, 5 girls and 2 boys, ages 22 down to 10, and my dog Axel. And I'm very happy to have Anna with me, Anna Joy Hunter. She is a senior this year. And guess where she's thinking about going to college? That was lame. You're going to have to yell louder than that this morning. Yes. The only choice, the best choice in all of America. And we say poi in my family. Anna, poi. Very poi. Proud of you. And so I was thinking back 29 years ago when I was happy and handsome, and the day when my eyes and my future wife's eyes met at Southwestern Seminary. Y'all want to hear the story? That was, I could hardly even hear that, but anyway, so look, am I annoyed when students are late to class? Yes, always. I won't mention any names. But when I was in college and seminary, if I went to class, I was always late to class, right? And so here's the class, Introduction to the Baptist Hymnal. I'm like, you know, I mean, how dumb a course is that, right? I was putting it off to the very end of my education, hoping I could get out of taking that class. And Karen, it was her first class. She was just enrolling in seminary. And so I was walking in late, and there weren't any chairs, just in the back room. And there was Karen on the front row, notebook open, pen, ready to take notes. And so I walked by, and she looked up just for a second. And I looked down just for a second. Then I went and sat on the back row. And I thought, wow, you know, I know her from somewhere. And my mind was just racing. Where do I know her from? Where do I know it? The class ended. And so you know what happened, right? You can guess. I went up after class and I asked her, don't I know you from somewhere? It's true. And so we got to talking, and come to find out, we went to the same high school. It's true, 3,000 or 4,000 students. We went to the same church, 10,000 members. And the more we talked, we later found out we were actually born in the same hospital. If I'm lying, I'm dying. She was born 10 hours older than me. 10 hours earlier than me. She's 10 hours older than me. She was born on February 10th. I was born on February 11th. And so, yeah, she's a cougar. It's true. And so I said this. Whoa. So we're walking toward her dorm, and I said, wow, those books sure look heavy. Can I carry those for you? Dr. Love is in the house. And so walked her to her dorm. Later that evening, I went back to the dorm. I got a Hallmark card. I could afford them back then. Got a Hallmark card. Wrote in there, nice to visit with you. Hope we can spend some time together in the future, Steve. So I knocked. Yes. I knocked on the door. She came to the door. I didn't go in. It's another smooth move. Just take it slow. Hey, just happened to be in the neighborhood. Wanted to give you this Hallmark card. Oh, wow, man. I'm telling you that it seals the deal. I'm telling you. And so this, like the whole time that we were talking and she was standing by the door and I was outside the door, she had spaghetti sauce all around her lips, and she would smile, and there's spaghetti sauce in between her teeth. It was really nasty. And so, that's it. Love is born. And so today, it is Valentine's Day, and you know, there are some pretty smooth lines, right? So I want to help out the single guys here at Criswell, because from what I understand, Criswell guys, they need a lot of help. I won't tell you who told me that, but. And if you use any of these lines with my daughter or any of my other four daughters, you will suffer. So here we go. Is it hot in here, or is it just the Holy Spirit burning inside of you? How many times do I have to walk around you to make you fall for me? How would you like to join my purpose-driven life? I heard Jesus called you. Mind if I do the same? I guard my heart, and you just set off my security alarm. Woo, woo, woo. So last night I was reading the book of Numbers, and then I realized I don't have yours. Do you need prayer? Because I can lay hands on you. Is it a sin? Yeah, boo. But the smart people are actually taking notes right now. Is it a sin that you stole my heart and my personal favorites? Excuse me, I believe one of your ribs belongs to me. And finally, I didn't believe in predestination until I met you. So, God's word provides an amazing opportunity for all of us to up our love game. In 1 Corinthians chapter 13, often called the love chapter. And so, before we hop into the chapter, I want to give you a little background information, you know, what was the city of Corinth like? What was the church in Corinth like? And so, I can sum it up and say, big, huge mess. But anyway, it helps to understand the context. And so, Corinth was built upon an isthmus. I've never said that word until today. It's really hard to say. A narrow strip of land with water on both sides that connects two larger pieces of land together. And so Corinth was a port city. There was actually two ports, four miles apart, which means double trouble because, you know, sailors were involved. So the city was booming with all kinds of people from all over, and sailors, you know, all kinds of people, not just sailors, all kinds of people. They would arrive in Corinth, and what they would do is take 1,886 steps to get to the temple of Aphrodite, right? To view the city, right? No, there were 1,000 priestesses there, right? The Isthmian Games were held each year in Corinth. Anyway, I might better skip that. Anyway, the priestesses could make a lot of money in 1 week when the Isthmian Games came to town. And just like everybody else in the city around them, the church reflected the culture more than they reflected Christ. In the church, they were born-again Christians with all of the gifts, the scripture says. But at the same time, they were filled with pride and arrogance, fussing and fighting, conflict, lawsuits, even fighting during the worship service over who had the more showy and better gifts. If I'm not the center of attention, if I'm not the speaker, if I'm not the leader, if I'm not the one in charge, then forget it. Forget you. Forget all of you. Sexual sin was rampant. Church members, they were actually talking about love. Church members would actually walk up the 1,886 steps themselves. Sexual sin was rampant in the church. There was actually a member who was having sex with his father's wife. And so Paul was in Ephesus at the time. He heard about what's going on, and so he sent them a letter with fear and trembling. He sent them a letter. With fear and trembling, he intervenes. And I don't know about you, has there ever been a church situation or a church conflict where you have entered that with fear and trembling? I say this, get ready. And so let's look at our scriptures for today. I'll read those, and I want to actually start with the last sentence in chapter 12 of 1 Corinthians. And it says, "And I will show you a still more excellent way," the way, the most excellent way. Then we move into 1 Corinthians 13. And I would like to read verses 1 through 7. "If I speak in the tongues of men and of angels, but have not love, I am a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal. And if I have prophetic powers and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have all faith so as to remove mountains, but have not love, I am nothing. If I give away all I have, and if I deliver up my body to be burned, but have not love, I gain nothing. I profit nothing. It means nothing. Love is patient and kind, does not envy or boast. It is not arrogant or rude. It does not insist on its own way. It is not irritable or resentful. It does not rejoice at wrongdoing, but rejoices with the truth. Love bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Love never ends." It just seems to me that Paul's lowering the boom, giving it to him straight. And so I'm paraphrasing a bit, verses 1 through 3 that we just read earlier. You can be the greatest, most eloquent, funniest, most entertaining speaker on the planet. You can be the most brilliant theologian, educator, and professor, and reverend, and doctor, and have all the titles and all the degrees and certifications on the planet, and have all of the colors of the rainbow on your regalia at graduation, and be the proudest. You can be the most awesome and wise counselor on the planet and unlock all mysteries of everybody's life and solve all of their problems and be the most sacrificial martyr on the planet and be the greatest writer with best-selling books. You can be the greatest missionary. You can be the greatest linguist and take all of our Hebrew and Greek scholars here at Criswell, sit them down and teach them a few things. You can be the best 4.0 student and graduate with all kinds of Latin words printed on your diploma. You can be the best administrator. You can be the best staff person and be completely devoid of love. Which leads us to point number one. The best, most awesome ministry you can imagine can be all about you, your needs, your agenda to feel good about yourself. You make a lot of noise. You get a lot of attention, but you're without love. And Paul says to the church at Corinth and to each of us, if you ain't got love, you got nothing. And point number two, you can't demonstrate the gifts of the Spirit outside the fruit of the Spirit and the indwelling power of the Spirit. And then Paul identifies 15 characteristics of what godly love, agape love, looks like in everyday life. And I don't want to skip this point. That list of 15 characteristics is the picture of Christ and his sacrificial death on the cross. And that is the exact picture, the perfect picture of love. So what I want to do is go through the list, 1 Corinthians 13, 4 through 7. Go through the list, and I've set it up in the form of a checklist or quiz, so you can kind of go along and evaluate your own love according to these verses. And the first little question on the Are You a Great Lover checklist is this: how patient are you? Are you patient? The word in Greek is literally long-suffering, and it's especially in relation to difficult people and difficult circumstances. How patient are you in Dallas traffic? How patient are you with your kids, if you have kids? How patient are you with your roommates? And the one with kids struck home with me because we loaded up our 9-passenger Suburban, and we drove all the way to Florida to go to Disney World together. And then we drove back all the way to Dallas. And my prayer was the same prayer, driving there and driving back. And it was this: Dear God, please help me not to jump out of this moving vehicle. It's crazy when we get together. It's a true test of patience. Are you kind? Not necessarily friendly and nice, which is really important, but kindness in that I put my to-do list to the side for a minute and I actually look for opportunities to bless sacrificially. Maybe secret acts of kindness, which I think are the best. Are you patient and kind? The next few items on the checklist. Are you prideful, arrogant, jealous, envious? Are you constantly comparing yourself to others? So two things happen when we compare ourselves to others. Either I will compare myself to my peers and I will feel insecure and inadequate and so vow to prove that I'm better. Or arrogance, I actually think that I'm better. The common denominator is this: either way, The focus is always on yourself. Talking about yourself, always wanting to be the center of attention, always wanting to be in charge, always trying to get one step ahead, always manipulating, always controlling, always a hidden agenda, building yourself up by tearing others down. So I challenge you the next time, like, you go into your office or you text someone or you're talking to someone on your phone, are you tearing others down? Some of us, we may have friendships that if we weren't bashing somebody, we really wouldn't have anything to talk about. Love does not compare. Love does not bash. Self-centered, prideful, arrogant, jealous people cannot love with God's love because they're too full of themselves. Next item on the checklist, are you easily angered, easily provoked? And yes, there are times when we need to be angry and stand up for abuse and injustice. But this is different. This is bitterness. Bitterness and resentment. It's when anger takes root and then actually becomes a part of who you are, part of your identity. Resentment and bitterness and the unwillingness to forgive will poison you from the inside out. Frank Minrith and Paul Meyer, in their book, Love is a Choice, say this: the number one killer in America today is pent-up anger. Or maybe you're just downright rude, short-fused, easily offended. You explode, or maybe you hold on to your anger. Hold on to it, hold on to it, hold on to it, hold on to it. And the pressure begins to build and build and build to the point that you explode and you take the grenade and you pull the pin and then you roll it down the center aisle or drop it right into the middle of the room and explode. You cannot harbor hate and love with God's love. They are mutually exclusive. Next item. So, here's the point. Do you do things that are unbecoming or out of character for Christians? And so the idea is, and the question is, are you betraying God by doing those things in secret that are completely out of character with being a born-again Christian? I could list a few. You know, I mean, I teach the dynamics of marriage and family class, and we're talking about dating, and we're looking at all of the research, and, you know, there's a lot of people, you know, that dating's out of style. I mean, we hook up. I'm going to be at this place, you're going to be at this place, right? Cohabitation, right? Or first unions. And the point is this: godly love is all in, not half in, half out, but all in. The opposite is true of agape love and how God desires us to love one another. Godly love has staying power. Godly love weathers the storm. Godly love walks alongside. Godly love says, I may not be able to take away your pain, but I'm not going anywhere. We will weather the storm together. So last question on today's quiz, love quiz, is this. Are you turning your back on those who need you most to protect yourself because of fear or maybe because you're too wrapped up in your own little world. Godly love, agape love, bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. So how do you do on your quiz? Kylie, my grader's here. You can talk to her after the service. And so here's the point. So what does that mean for us? So outside of using scripture to have a good self-examination on the quality of your love, I'll tell you how it applies to me, and that is it has a lot to do. I recently had a birthday, February 11th, and it was a few days back. And, you know, birthdays are the most difficult day in my life all year. It is a beat down to get through the day. And thank God, you know, when it's over. Why is that? Well, I mean, from a young age, you know, I was told that I wish you'd never been born. I was told that you don't matter. I was told that your life is going to amount to nothing. I was told that. And the worst part of it was I believed that. And I internalized that. And so I did. I made a vow. I said, I will prove you wrong. All my other haters and accusers and abusers, I will prove you wrong. And so I think we can do a lot of things and not be motivated by love. I think we can do a lot of things in an attempt to earn love, to try and prove to others, prove to God that I am worthy of love. And so it hit me. So I have my CV here and, you know, my resume here, and it looks pretty good on paper. But my question for me is, and the point for me is, you know, it doesn't really matter, you know, what's on the paper. What matters is what's in your heart. And so, anyway, this is how it worked out. So I have this hoop right here. I'm not going to do the hula hoop unless you pay me $50 and I'll do it. But here's how it worked out. Here's how it worked out before, and here's how it works out now. How it worked out before is my eyes were out here, desperately trying, dedicating my whole life to demonstrate my best love to others. Looked pretty good on paper. The hoop represents my personal relationship with Christ, my fellowship with Him, my time with Him, my purpose, my calling. Inside the hoop represents my personal health and well-being. These are all of the things that I'm responsible for before God. On that last day, I will be held accountable for my relationship to Him. And what I was doing, I actually had like the two top greatest commandments of all, love God and love one another. I had them in reverse. I would love others and hopefully think that I was pleasing God by loving others. That's not true today. I don't think that you can love others without loving God first. I think that your relationship will be reflected in how you love others. Your relationship with God, a perfect reflection is your relationship with your spouse or the person that you're dating. Your relationship with God will be reflected in how you parent your kids. So I'm going to do this. I'm going to pray. And it's my prayer each day. It's been a game changer. It's been a life changer for me to realize that, wow, it's easy to say, love God first. But in all of our responsibilities of life, it's much more difficult to put into practice. So here's my prayer. I'll pray it. And if you want to pray along too, that's fine. Then after I pray, Dr. Campbell will come up and dismiss us. So I do pray, Lord God, I surrender all of who I am to you. My heart, mind, soul, strength, my all. And what's more difficult is to surrender all I have to you. All of those things I hold on to so tightly. I hold on to them so tightly. And I have fear and anxiety of losing any of those things. I hold on to them so tightly. I surrender those things to you as well, and those people to you as well. My marriage, my kids, my possessions, my employment here at Criswell. All of those things and people that are most dear in my life, I surrender those and empty myself of exhaustion and frustration, anger, bitterness, resentment, fear, anxiety. I empty myself and surrender those to you as well, so that you can fill me, Lord, with the maximum amount of your love, your grace, your mercy, your forgiveness, the empowering of your Spirit, so that today, in all that I do, people might catch a glimpse of you. I pray these things in the name of Jesus. Amen.
Let's give the Lord a hand for Dr. Hunter. I always, always, always appreciate when you bring a word in chapel. So thank you for coming today. And so I'm going to read a little bit of scripture. It is Valentine's Day, and Dr. Hunter has done a fantastic job of reorienting us toward what actual love is. And so I want to further that and then say a quick prayer of dismissal. It is my prayer, if I don't voice it in a moment, that you have a great day as you go forward and that you experience today, recognize today, the love of God already at work in your life. So 1 John 4, beginning in verse 7, beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God, and everyone who loves is born of God and knows God. He who does not love does not know God, for God is love. In this, the love of God was manifested toward us, that God has sent his only begotten Son into the world, that we might live through him. In this is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. And Father, we thank you that when we could not reach up to you, that you reached down to us. Lord, we thank you that when we did not know how to love, you expressed your love in its fullest sense when you sent your Son to live, to die, and to be raised from the dead, so that he might pay the penalty, endure the wrath for our sin, that we might be reconciled, so that your scripture would be fulfilled, that you could be both just and the justifier of the one who puts their faith in Jesus. So, Lord, for us that are here today that know your Son is Savior, We have experienced that love. So, Father, if we have been so loved, let us love one another. Let us love those we come in contact with today. Let us show your love to a world that seeks it, that wants it, and that rarely gets it. So, Lord, let us be those people that go out and make a difference, not because of all the letters after our name or all the degrees or all those things, but because we choose love. Father, thank you for loving us so well. It's in Christ's name we pray. And all God's people said, amen. God bless you. We're dismissed.